Now the word of God came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness and it is come before me.
God told Jonah what to do. God said, Jonah, you're going to Nineveh. You have to do this. Go it, cry against it. Preach against them for what they have come against me.
Right.
Nineveh sinned against God. Jonah came against Nineveh. It's what God wanted him to do. In the same way, God has a plan for all of our lives.
Yes.
Every one of us. God has a plan for each and every one of us, and he wants us to live up to him.
But then what it says is, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish in the presence of the Lord, and went unto Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down unto it, to go into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
We don't always agree with the plan God wants from us. We don't want to go the same thing. We say, God, I want to do it my way.
Right.
I don't care about your way. It's my life. I'm going to live it my way.
Right.
But God says no. So what Jonah did, Jonah said, No, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'll work for you, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to Tarshish. Now, as I was studying, I found Tarshish from where Jonah was sent to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was west from where Jonah was. Not only did Jonah not go the way God wanted him to go, Jonah went the opposite direction to Tarshish.
Right.
He sailed a boat and was going the opposite direction, completely wrong way, completely off the word of God said. And you can't live for God by your rules. You can't. It's just not going to happen. God is what he says goes. It's God. You can't go, I'm going to serve you, but I'm going to serve it you my way. It's not how it works.
Good.
So, God's hard times fall upon people who rebel against God. And it says, But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the waters that were in the ship, and the sea to lighten it off of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came unto him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God thinketh upon us, that will perish not. And they said to every one unto his fellow, Come, and cast us lots, that we may know whose cause the evil is upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Jonah thought everything's going to be all right. I'll go my way. Who cares what God wants me to do? I know he wants me to go to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish. So what? It didn't work like that. God, if you're in sin, you will be found out.
Amen.
Eventually, it's going to come out. And you would rather just not be a sinner to begin with. It's easier that way. No. But Jonah found... They found out it was Jonah. They said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil and upon us, with thine occupation? And whence comest thou? Why is thy country? What people art thou? And said unto him, I am the Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, and the sea may be common to us, for the sea wrought with tempests. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be common to you. For I know that for my sake the great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea is wrought, and was tempest against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done this as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea.
Yep.
And the sea ceased from her raising, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. God saw Jonah's in a hard place now. They found out Jonah was in sin, and Jonah said, All right, you're right, it's my fault. I'm the reason, God, this is all here. You want this ship storm to be ended? You want this ship to sail good? You have to throw me off. These men didn't want to throw Jonah off. He seemed to be a good man. You know, he was still wanting to serve the Lord just his own way. So they tried everything else they possibly could. But in the end, Jonah wasn't following God's way, so there was nothing else they could do. You had to go God's way. You couldn't go your way. You couldn't do anything else. There was no other way to save themselves.
Right.
So except by God.
Amen.
There's no way you can be saved except by God.
Amen. That's good, bro.
It's just God. There's not other pathways.
Amen.
It's one God. He is the path to salvation.
Amen.
So they threw him off, and the storm stopped. The ship was over, and the storm was done. Once Jesus was thrown off, they listened to the Lord. They were saved. Jonah, however, was in a tight spot. He was in the middle of the ocean. No way to go. And, well, it's not fun to live in the middle of the ocean. So, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah and was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Even though Jonah went against God, went against everything God stood for, went the opposite direction God told him to do, God still loves Jonah.
Amen.
God prepared this fish. I mean, being swallowed by a fish doesn't seem like the best thing to do, but it beats being in the ocean with nothing.
Right.
There's nothing you can do, and God's going to help you His own way.
Yes.
So, Jonah realized this. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord and his God out of the fish's belly and cried, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried, and I heard my voice. For thou hadst cried, cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out into thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to his soul. The depths closed me round about, the weeds that were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet how hast thou brought me into the life of the corruption, O Lord my God? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thine own holy temple, that thou observe lying vanities for the sake of thy own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land.
That's awesome.
Okay, Jonah had been swallowed by a fish. There was nothing worse for Jonah to be. There was no place Jonah could go any lower. It was there and then death. Jonah saw this. Jonah realized, hey, but I'm here because I went against God. There's no other one. You can't blame anyone else. It was me. I went against God. There was nothing supernatural about it. It's my choices. I live with the consequences of my actions.
Amen.
So he prayed. So he did the only thing he could do. He prayed to God. I mean, that's what you have to do. But you don't have to wait until you're at the bottom of the ocean in a fish's belly to pray to God. It's too many times we get into these problems that we put upon ourselves. But if we would have asked God and followed God previously, we wouldn't be in the situation to begin with.
Amen.
But God still loves us enough to, even when we're in the fish's belly, He will still save us.
Amen.
Jonah prayed to God, and God talked to the fish, and the fish vomited Jesus, Jonah, against dry land.
Amen. Yes.
Now, that is a miracle in itself. I mean, God is a worker of miracles. He will help you if you call out to Him.
Right.
You can't say, oh, I'll call out to Him later and later and later. You don't know what you're going to have tomorrow.
Right.
You can't say, I'm going to wait till later and then I'll ask God to help me because I can do it my own way. I'm going to try my own way before. Because you don't know you'll have tomorrow.
Right.
You can go and get hit by a bus. It doesn't. You're not guaranteed another second, another minute, another hour.
Right.
You're guaranteed here and now. You can get saved here and now. That now is time for salvation.
Amen. Yes, amen.
So, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah and second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the praying that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Okay, God just rescued Jonah. He rescued him. I mean, there was no other way that Jonah was going to get out of that whale. God performed a miracle and did it. After this, Jonah was probably going to listen to God. I mean, he didn't want to get eaten by another fish. He didn't want to, go against God again, because he'd already saw what happened the first time. He's not going to do it again. He was a little bit smarter than most of us. Most of us go against God again and again and again. No matter what he tells us to do, we're going to go our own way. When persecution comes upon us, we pray to God, we get out of it, and what do? We go against him again.
Right.
That's stupidity.
Yeah.
Jonah was smart enough to go, okay, God, it's up to you. You want me to go there? I'm going there. You show me what you can do. I think I'm going to worship you. And so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word, and Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 33 days journey. And Jonah began to enter and cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, I've just got to studying this and found what the people believe. That to be in the giant fish, the fish had stomach acids, right? The stomach acids would have bleached Jonah's skin and hair, giving him a ghostly appearance. Now, I don't know about you, when a person comes into my city screaming, you're going to be overthrown in 40 days, and he looks like a ghost, I'm kind of going to listen to him.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. God will take the bad things that you've done, going against God, getting eaten by a whale, and turn it into good things. For all we know, Nineveh might not have listened to Jonah if Jonah had not done that. I'm sure he would, because that's what God told him to do in the first place, but that helped him. Your bad things can come and help you later on.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean you need to go and do bad things to have help.
That's good.
You can follow down the wrong pathway, and at any point you can still take a U-turn for God.
Amen.
You can still say, no, I'm done. I'm going to God's path.
Amen.
God left me to do this. I'm going to do this.
Amen.
You don't have to keep going, I've done this and I've done this, and you don't understand. I can't be saved. No. God can save anyone. No matter what you do, no matter how bad you are, God can still save you.
Amen.
I don't care if you've murdered, you stole, God can save you. That's what he says.
Amen.
So the people of Nineveh believed in God and proclaimed a fast and put on a sackcloth, and the greatest unto them, and even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from the throne, and he laid a robe about them, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed, and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither a man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with the sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, then turn one from his evil way, and from his violence in his hands. When you do things for God, good things are going to happen.
Yes,
when you take a stand and say, I'm going to follow God's word, good things happen.
Yes.
I think of this church in that matter. Bad things started coming upon our old church at Solid Rock. But we took a stand. We said, this is our Bible. This is our stand.
Amen.
We stand on this word. And no matter what you do, we are not going to back off.
Amen.
Because this is what God tells us to do. And, bad things stop happening. We keep taking a stand, and now here we are. but think about it. This church has grown more than anything. This church was down to 3 people. God worked a miracle in this church, just like he worked a miracle in Jonah.
Yes. Amen.
Jonah in the belly of the whale, and the Valley View Baptist, Valley View Baptist, is the same God. The same God that worked for Jonah is the same God that performed the miracle here.
Yes.
The same thing.
Amen.
Jesus is still in the saving business. He's still in the miracle-working business.
Amen.
And there's nothing you can do. If you call upon him, it works. Nineveh repented. This was an entire city filled with wickedness and evil. And Jonah came to him, did what God told him to do, and the entire city repented. That's an entire city. Think about that. There are people, we can't get to our entire city to do what God says. There are people in this church that come to church every Sunday, but they don't. They still won't do what God says.
Right. Yeah. That's good, bro.
But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry.
And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray unto thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, and for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech me, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat to the east of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city.
Yeah. It's a miracle to me, or not really a miracle, it's completely outstandingly for me to see people will do God's word, and then because God does not reward you in the way you want to be rewarded, he follows his own plan and not yours, because you're human and filled with sin,
right,
and he's not going to listen to you.
Right.
But he's perfect, and he's going to follow his own plan. But when things don't go your way, you still get mad at God, because what I want is more important than what God wants. What I, a filthy, rotten sinner, want is more important than what God, an almighty, perfect being, wants.
Amen. That's right.
But people still get mad at God.
Amen.
And they still, when they don't get their way, they'll pitch a fit, and they'll say, no, I want this way, God. Give me what I want. And God isn't always going to give you what you want, because what you want isn't always God's plan. Jonah wanted didn't want this city to repent. He wanted to see God wipe this city off the map.
Right. Amen.
But no, God is a merciful God. He was the same. Showed the same mercy to Jonah. What if Jonah went against God? God just went, sorry, Jonah, you're dead. I'll get someone else to preach to Nineveh. No, God showed mercy to Jonah just like he showed mercy to Nineveh. It's the same thing. You can't expect things and then not expect to give the same things as that.
Right.
You follow God's plan so that you'll have God's results. You can't follow God's plans and expect your results, because it's not going to happen.
Amen. That's good, brother.
But you can't follow your plan and expect God's results. It doesn't work. There's one way, God's way.
Amen.
Any other way is going to lead you down to the wrong road. It's just the wrong way.
Now, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, and it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd and then withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live.
Even when Jonah, he had gotten eaten by a whale, he got saved. He got saved from the whale. He did what God wanted him to do. God didn't get the results he wanted, so he went against God again. God still loved Jonah. And God's not a God of second chances. God's a God of many chances. There's no matter how many times you make a mistake, God will forgive you. I mean, you can do the same stupidity over and over again, and as long as you're alive and say, God, help me, God's still going to forgive you. Think about that. God will forgive anyone, no matter what their mistake. That is unbelievable to me. Because what are we to deserve His forgiveness?
Right.
We don't have anything to offer God. God is God.
Right.
You don't have anything to give Him. He created you. He created all of us. Nothing we can do can amount to what He's done. He created the world. He gave all of this to us. What can we give to Him? But when we go against Him, He still loves us, cares for us enough to forgive us of our sins. No matter how much we go against Him and go down our own stupidity roads,
right,
we still are forgiven by God time and time again. And no matter how much we go, no, God, spit in God's face, go the other way, deny God, everything we can to get away from God, God's still there, God still loves us, God still forgives us.
Amen.
And it's absolutely unbelievable.
Amen.
But it's God. It's God's love. It is unbelievable. That's the point.
Amen, yeah.
He saved us from hell.
Amen. Yeah.
He doesn't want us to go to hell. He wants us to ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
But we have to choose His way.
Amen.
There's no way. Buddha won't get you to heaven. Allah won't get you to heaven.
Amen.
God will get you to heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that just unbelievable? Because He's saved us.
Amen.
He saved us all when we don't need to be saved. We don't deserve to be saved.
Amen. Yes.
He saw Jonah. Jonah went into the desert and said, okay, I'm going to walk you to the city. And God saw Jonah and said, okay, I'll put a gourd over your head. Now, a gourd is this big plant. It goes in. He used it and he shaded Jonah. The next couple of days passed and God killed the plant. And Jonah said, God, why'd you kill my shade? Come on, dude, it's hot. Help me. And God's like, why don't you follow my way? It's simple, really. But Jonah's like, no, you're supposed to destroy this city. I came and did what you wanted. You're supposed to help me. And God goes, no, that's not how it works. It's my way or the highway. Eventually you're going to get it through your thick skull that you're going to do what I want or it's not going to work for you.
Right, amen.
I am the Almighty God. You can do whatever you want to go, oh, God, I'm going to put you in this little box here and you're going to do what I want because I'm me and I'm Almighty. But you're not. It doesn't work. You can't put God in a box. He's the supreme ruler of everything. He's still on the throne today. He was on the throne then, and he'll be on the throne in 1,000 years. No matter what you do, God is God. You can't go against that. It's in the Bible, and it's just life.
Amen.
You can't go your own stupidity ways and expect God to just reward you and just let you go. Because He is going to either, one, take you out of this world.
Amen.
You don't want to do what I want to do, then fine. Or He will put trials on you. Now, I don't think anyone here is going to get eaten by a whale, but it can happen. God is the world, God of miracles. It may not be financial. It might be in this economy. But everything you do, if you guys ever stop to think that maybe the trials you're under is your own actions.
Right.
Maybe I need to get right with God.
Amen.
Maybe the problems I'm having is because me and God are not on a face-to-face level. I have not asked for forgiveness for my sins.
Amen.
It's not too late ever. It's only too late once you die. That's the only thing.
Right.
And then, well, it's too late. No amount of praying for you, giving money to the Pope, none of it's going to help you after that. You're dead.
Right.
Either you're in hell or you're in heaven, and there's nothing that's going to change that.
Amen. That's good, brother.
But none of you are dead. You are all still alive. It's not too late for any one of you.
Yes.
But once you step out those doors tonight, once you go and into the world again, I can't guarantee you'll be back here
right.
ever again.
Right.
I can't say you'll be back Sunday night. I can't be back here to be here Sunday morning. Anything can happen. And it will be too late.
Right. Amen.
You can't say. And I've heard Brother Jabbo preach deathbed redemptions. It happens. People will die and be on their deathbed and say, God, I realize I've done my life wrong, and I believe they're saved just like anyone else because they're still alive and they still ask for forgiveness.
Right.
God still forgives them. But what if you don't have a deathbed?
Right.
What if you're not ever just dying? You're
That's
just
right.
dead. You're driving down the road. A drunk driver hits you. You're dead.
Right.
What if that happens? There's no time for you to say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Right.
It doesn't. You're not guaranteed to be another second.
Right.
You have to be God's way. And if you don't do God's way, well, then it's not going to work.
Amen.
You literally can't just go and say, God, you can't, when you're up there in heaven talking to God and God's like, why should I let you into heaven? You can't say, oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? It doesn't work. At that point, it's too late.
Right.
You can't say anything to God. You can't say, look at all this works that I've done. It wasn't your way, but, you know, I did it. I did this for you because you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself. If you would have wanted to do what I wanted you to do, you would have came over here and done what I told you to do.
Amen.
I mean, because you can't really say, oh, but I started all these churches and I saved all these people.
Right.
No.
Right. Right.
You didn't start anything. God started them. And He didn't want to start them. He wanted to start you having over here 100 more churches.
Right.
He wanted to save thousands of people. He wanted to save a city.
Right.
But no, you had to start one church and save 10 people because you didn't want to do God's way.
Amen.
So what does God have any choices to do? He's a judge. He has to give you what the law says. He has to send you to hell if you don't have Him as your Savior.
Amen. Yes.
If you haven't asked Him to forgive you, you can't get to heaven another way. It's
Amen.
Not feasible. It's not possible. It's
Amen.
Not... It's in the Bible.
Amen.
If you don't like it, sorry.
Amen.
Read the Bible. It's in there.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way. It's not like a wheel and everything leads to the same heaven. It's not. It's like a path and one way leads to heaven and every other way leads to hell.
Amen.
It's just, that's how it is. I'm sorry. It's hard. Yes, I believe you. It's hard. I know that you've done all these things and you can't give it up, but you have to give it up.
Amen.
It's the only way.
Yes.
I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy life. I'm not going to say once you get saved, everything's easy. You'll have money. You'll have happiness. But it's the only way to heaven.
Amen. Yes.
I mean, it's the only possible thing you can do.
Amen. Yes.
I don't understand how people say, oh, I'll wait till tomorrow and then, you know, maybe I'll get saved. Or I'll clean myself up before I go to God. Why would you have to clean yourself up before you go to God? It doesn't make sense. Only God is the only one that can clean you up.
Amen.
You can't just go and say, oh, I have to, you know, quit my smoking before I come to God. I have to quit drinking because, you know, God doesn't want to save someone like that. God wants to save someone like that.
Amen.
It's the only person that it's the only way you can save is to be saved as a sinner. If I'm already saved and perfect, I have no reason to be saved. But none of us are perfect. We have to come to God as sinners.
Amen.
Have His blood washed over us to cover our imperfections.
Amen. Yes.
It's the only way you can do it.
Amen.
He sent His Son to die for us.
Amen.
He sent His Son to die for a bunch of people who rejected Him, who spit on Him, who absolutely denied His very existence. Can you think of that? Your only Son. And you sent Him to die for a bunch of people that hate you.
Amen.
That's how much you love them. You can't even imagine that amount of love.
Amen.
It's not there to begin. None of us can feel that kind of love except if we have His love in us.
Amen. Yes.
It's the only way.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, think about it. People will sit there and literally argue with you. Oh, but what if this way? What if I do this and this and this? No, I don't care if you started and you're a mission field to Africa and you go and you feed the starving little Ethiopian children. It doesn't matter. It's wood, hay, stubble if you're not saved.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if any way except for God's way.
Amen.
Because God is God. He's not going to create an exception for you. Oh, I know you didn't get saved, but you have fed that hungry Ethiopian child.
Amen.
So, come on, into heaven. Because everyone's a sinner, and all sin is equal to God.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you've stolen a piece of candy from the little candy shop, or committed mass genocide. If you didn't get saved, that little piece of candy will get you into hell just as much as mass genocide will.
Right, amen. Yes, sir.
And really, you don't want any degree of hell. It's not, you don't want it. It's not partying it up, live it up like everyone seems to see it. You see this in the movies as, oh, I'll be with my friends and all my friends will be in hell together. And we're like, yay. No, hell is a place of eternal fire and darkness.
Amen, yes.
Darkness and fire. That doesn't go together in most people's heads. But it's a scientific fact. The hottest fire is invisible.
Amen.
You go to NASCAR, the fire coming from the back of those cars, it's invisible. You don't see it. It doesn't produce light. It's,
right.
And that's heaven.
Yes.
It's eternal darkness, eternal fire. Now, think about that. Eternal darkness and eternal fire. You can't say anything because you're too busy screaming for mercy and pain. But it's too late.
Right.
I've already said it's too late. You're dead. You're in there forever.
Right. Amen.
Why people would go to the God and say, I know you've given your Son, you've given your eternal love for me, you've given all this to me, and I spit you in the, and they still spit in His face and say, I don't want that, that's not enough for me. It's not enough for you, it's all there is. It's that or go into fire and darkness for eternity. Do you realize how long eternity is? It's not like, oh, you've been there 30 years, come on out now. Let's do try it again. No, it's eternity. It's forever and ever. There's nothing you can do to get out of hell once you're there. And you are there. It's burning. I mean, who's burned themselves? And they pull away and it hurts. Yes, it hurts. But imagine if you couldn't pull away. Imagine if you were there forever and that's all there was for you.
Right. Amen.
Heaven is just so much of a better place to be.
Yeah.
But people don't realize that they have to go the right way to heaven. If I go into a mansion and I am a tourist in a mansion and I just go and I'm looking at places, it's great. But if I'm a burglar in a mansion and I sneak in and I'm trying to steal stuff, it's going to be a lot less of a pleasurable experience. Because I'm going to get the cops called on me, I'm going to go to jail, and I'm not going to be having a fun time.
Right.
I promise you.
That's right.
But you can't get into heaven your way. You can't be a thief in heaven. You're going to go to hell. You have to be God's guest. God has to allow you in as your father. He has to be your father.
Amen.
He can't be anything else but to you but a father.
Amen.
He can't be, oh, I know of God. You have to know God.
Amen.
You have to know Him face to face. You have to be able to call Him Father.
Yes.
You have to have accepted Him. You have to do everything in His path. I mean, yes, we're going to slip up. Jonah slipped up. I believe Jonah went to heaven when he died because he was safe. But Jonah slipped up. Jonah went to Tarshish. But guess what? Jonah got eaten by a whale. Don't you realize this? A whale. It wasn't an easy life for him because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. That's not to say that if you do what God wants you to do, it's going to be easy. But it's to say it'll be a lot easier than if you go your own way. Because there is no way. What do you want to accomplish in life that's better than going to heaven and not hell? Think of the comparison. You have eternity forever and ever in a good place or forever and ever in a bad place. It's not simple. A 5-year-old can tell you that he wanted to be in a good place because forever and ever in a bad place is bad.
Right.
It's not complex.
Yes.
It's go to Jesus, get saved, go to heaven. It's God's path.
Yes.
Jonah figured it out.
Right.
It may have taken him so many tries and retries, but he figured it out. Because we are thick-skulled as people. We don't want to go God's way because, oh, but I like my drinking problem. I like my mess. I like all this. It doesn't matter if you like it. Guess what? There's no mess in hell.
Right. Amen.
One way or another, you're getting over your meth addiction.
Amen.
Now, you can be in heaven and over your meth addiction, or you can be in hell and still craving the meth.
Amen.
Your choice. But guess what? It doesn't matter. You're not going to have meth again once you die.
Amen.
Sorry.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Right.
Jesus is the God of many chances. Now, you can't do anything to lose that salvation. Once you're on that path, you're on that path.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, sure, you can make other wrong turns. But once you're saved, once God's forgiven you of all your sins, isn't it just great to know that I can mess up? And I have a Father who will forgive me.
Yes.
Who will say, oh, I know you messed up. I know you messed up, but you called out to me. I will help you. Let me help you. Because that's what He's trying to do for all of us. Help us. But we can't do that if we get away from Him. He can't help us if we're going over here going our own way. God's not going to come to us. It's not going to happen. We have to go to Him.
Right.
We have to take the first step. And after the first step, it's really a lot easier. I was saved, but the first step is always the hardest step. Because you think, oh, what will people think of me? If they think, oh, you're the Christian child, you don't want to have fun. You don't like fun. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have fun. I love having fun. It's great. But it's not, I have to have God's way of fun. I can't be out in the bar drinking every night. And it can't do that because I'm one of God's children and I have to represent God in a way that is pleasing to God.
Amen.
You can't just go, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm here on Sunday, and then every other day you're cussing up a storm and picking fights and drinking and everything. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
It's not going to happen because you're not on God's path.
Right. Amen.
You can't, and people pretend to be on God's path all the time. Oh, well, I'm here on Sunday. Where is the fruits in your life? Where is anything? When's the last time you picked up a Bible? When's the last time you read a Bible? I mean, sure, people are doing it Sundays, But what is it to do it on Sundays? Why can't you do it any other day? What mystical God did God say? No, you must only read your Bible on Sunday. He didn't. He wants us to read His Bible. The Bible is God's Word. God doesn't come down and talk to us face-to-face anymore. He did in the Old Testament, but He doesn't anymore. So what do we have? We have God's Word right here.
Amen.
It's just as true now as it was 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. It's the same God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much the world has changed. God is still the same. God still wants to save you. God still loves you.
Amen.
God loves you, the very same person who spits in His face and denies Him on a regular basis, as just as much as He loves one of His children.
Yes, amen.
And anyone, no matter how much they've rejected God, denied it, anything can get saved.
Amen.
No matter how much you believe in your Allah or your Buddha or whatever else you believe in, your mythical animal goldfish spirits, I don't care. They're not going to get you to heaven. You can eat your goldfish all day long. It's not going to get you to heaven. It's not. There's one person to get you to heaven. God said, I'm going to make the bridge between you and me.
That's right.
This is my son. My only son. He didn't have like hundreds of children and He picked this one because He didn't like him so much. No, Jesus was His only son. And He said, I'm sending this child down to earth to get crucified. Imagine that, putting that on your child. Your child is going to get crucified. Your only child is getting crucified. By the same people that He's sending there to save are going to spit Him in the face, look Him in the eye and say, no, I hate you. The same people He's going down to save. The same people that He is looking at and saying, please, please come to me. I can take you to heaven. Look Him in the eye and say, I hate you.
Yeah.
Go away. Leave me alone. But that's what we do, is it not? Sure, and you say, no, I don't say God, I hate Him. If you're not going down the same path God wants you to, that's what you're doing. God's like, come here, follow this path. And you're like, no, God, I want to do this. Because that's what it is. You don't just say, oh, I'm going to come over here, God. It's okay. We're cool. And God will be like, yeah, buddy, let's do it. No, you can't talk to God and say, okay, God, here's what I want to do. Capiche? That's what we're doing, okay? No, God tells you what He wants you to do. God leads you to something, whether it be a job, a school, ministering to a friend. If God leads you to something, He's not going to say, okay, you tried so hard to do what I wanted you to do, but no. He's going to reward you for doing what you wanted to do. It may not be, once again, it may not be in the way you wanted to be rewarded, but He's going to reward you in one way or another. It may just be the experience that you did what God wanted you to do, but it's still a reward. Because guess what? If you're on God's path, you get your eternal reward in heaven. We're back on this. Yes, heaven. Think about that. The streets are paved with gold. It's heaven. It's amazing. We're going to spend eternity with Jesus, God, the Savior, the person who created you and me, the person who knows everything. We don't have to ask Him everything. We don't have to ask Him, why does gravity work? Because guess what? God knows, and God will tell us. He'll tell us everything about this world. But Satan, why would we listen to Satan? Why would we go down all his many paths? Because they're bright. They're better. They help us. No, they don't. They may look bright and shiny on the outside, but they're not. They'll lead us to one place, hell. And guess what? Hell is eternal. You don't grasp the aspect of eternal. Sure, it's forever and ever. But what does that mean? Brother Dabble used the analogy multiple times. I've heard him. If an eagle were to fly to the moon and then fly back to earth and scrape a bit of Mount Everest off, and he flew back to the moon and came back down and scraped it off again, just a little bit, just a tiny, itsy bitsy bit, and then he flew back to the moon and back down and scraped a little bit off once more and just kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. How long do you think it would take until the Mount Everest, the biggest mountain, was scraped flat? Long time. No science behind that. Long time. Now imagine he did this again. He went to Lookout Mountain. He flew to the moon, scraped a bit off. Flew to the moon, scraped a bit off. Flew to the moon again, scraped a bit off. And then look out, mountains off. Let's go to another mountain. Let's go to the Himalayas. Let's just scrape them all flat. And he went to every mountain range on earth. Every mountain range. Mount Everest may have taken a long time. This eagle is buff. This eagle is strong. This eagle is going to the moon and back. This eagle has been working out forever. Guess what? This is thousands upon millions of years going on here. Guess what? Eternity has just begun. You're still either on fire, burning, crying out, wishing you would have taken God's path, wishing you would have gotten saved, taken Jesus, wishing you would have clung to Jesus like a baby clings to his mom. But you didn't. It's too late. And that eagle's still flying. Guess what? Eternity's just begun. You've got to live to that, maybe a couple. Ever. Always. It's not going to change. No matter how long you wait for something to get better, if it's down, if you're in hell or you're in heaven, it's not going to change. You're in hell. You're in heaven. It's to peace.
Yeah.
It's done. Sorry. If you're in hell, you had your chance. If you're in heaven, good job. You took your chance. You followed the path God wanted you to go, and this is your reward. You're in hell. You decided not to take God's path. Sorry. Sucks to be you. I mean, so, do we weep for people in hell? Yes. But all the tears in the world aren't going to bring them back. It's hard, yes, and to lose people to hell. But that's why we're here today. We could, if we're saved, if I got saved and Jesus took me to heaven right then, Jesus said, okay, you did what I want you to do. Good, we're in heaven. What would be the point? If I can't stay here and once I get saved and do this and talk to people and say, please come to Jesus, if I can't get others saved, what's the point? Because I'm saved, sure, but then there's no other people to lead other people to Christ. I'm here, I'm saved, now it's my job to save others. I can't save others. Guess what? All I can do is lead them to this. God's Word. God's Word can save. It's literally that or nothing. Because Jonah figured it out. Jonah said, God, okay, maybe your way's the best. Maybe getting eaten by a fish, being stranded in the ocean, and living in the desert's not a good thing. Because it's not. It's not. Now imagine, would you rather be stranded in the ocean, eaten by a fish, and laying out in the desert? Would you rather go to hell? Your choice. Because I can sit there and go, oh, look at all these bad things I've done. Because I've done all these bad things, there's no way God will forgive me. And I can use that as my excuse. I can build a barrier. But guess what? I'm digging my own tomb. Because then, once I've gotten swallowed by my fish, everything, been stranded in the ocean, laying out in the desert, I'm still going to hell. And guess what? I guarantee you I'd rather be laying in the desert, just gotten swallowed by a fish and stranded in the ocean, than I wouldn't be rather in hell. But you know what I'd be rather than that? Be in heaven. The streets are paved of gold. Do you not understand that? That's enough for me to say, okay, I kind of want to be there. That'd be a nice place to go. I can spend my vacations there. It's pretty good. But no, people don't want your God's way because, that sounds hard. I've got to go to church every morning. I've got to, wake up early. No, once you get saved, if you're on God's path, it feels good to go to church.
Yes,
it's rest. It's away from being in the world.
Yes.
The world is filled with people out there that just are like, no. And they bring you down. If you're around a bunch of, if you make friends with a bunch of depressed people who are just like, yeah, let's go, you're going to become depressed. If you make friends with a bunch of goths, people are going to associate you with a goth. It's going to happen. But I don't hang out. I choose my friends wisely. You choose your friends, and your people will see who you hang out with, and they'll associate you with that kind of crowd. Your job from then is, once they see you hanging out with Christians, say, oh, he's a Christian person. Not to take the standard of a Christian person and bring it down. Don't drag it through the mud. Because anyone can come to church on Sundays and be considered a Christian person, but once I'm out in the sun going, once I'm in the church on Sundays and I'm a Christian person, and then every other day I'm cussing like a sailor, people will say, I don't want a part of that. Look, What's this God's love? You can't even stop cussing when you're in church every Sunday. Sure, I can praise Jesus every Sunday and go out in the world and start cussing up a storm. It's not going to do me a hill of beans to start ministering to people. Because they say, I see you cussing every day. What's the difference between you and me? You go to church on Sundays. You wake up early to go to church and sit there and listen to a guy talk to you. Because there is no difference. You, if you're not going to do that, there is actually a difference. You're going to go to heaven still, but you will bring no one else with you. Wouldn't you want to bring the people around you to heaven with you? Wouldn't you want to just... He can save anyone. I don't think you understand that. Anyone. He can change the most cold-hearted heart. The most, I hate Jesus. I'm an atheist. I hate Jesus. I hate the meaning of the word Jesus. And he'll take that person and he'll turn that person into a person who loves Jesus, who's crying out to Jesus for sorrow, for forgiveness. You know why? Because he's a God of miracles. That's what he does. He's in the business, and business is booming. You don't understand. Because Jesus loves you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He sits there on a cross. Think about this. He's there on the cross. They take a cat of nine tails, take the whip, and whip him, and it sinks into his flesh. And they pull it off, and part of his flesh comes off. And they do it again. And part of his, another part of this, to the point where you can see his bones. Blood is pouring out. They put the cat of nine tails on his head, which is a crown of thorns. They bear it into his head. They nailed him to the cross. Every time he wants to take a breath, he has to push up with his feet. Push up, take a breath, and then fall back down. And the nerves, pain just shoots through his body. All of that. Could you imagine doing that? And every second he's on that cross, he's thinking of me. He's thinking of you. He's thinking of you. He's thinking of every one of us. Because he does not want us to go to hell. Why would we let someone do that for us? And then still reject him? Because it's better for us now. Because I can do this and still feel happy and I don't see the consequences of it. I'm telling you the consequences of it. This is where the world takes you. Your path. The point is, your road will take you to heaven or hell. You can follow God's path, the God path He wants you to take, the God who loves you, the God who wants you, the God who has done everything He can for you to get you to heaven. Or you can take your path. The path where it leads you ultimately to nothing. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's over. After that. Nothing you can do will ever stop you. Because in the end, it's your decision. God loves you. And when a parent loves his child, here on earth, they will stop their child from making the bad decisions. It's like, you're going to church on Sundays because I'm your mom and I'm telling you you're going to church. Because it's going to be good for you. But God doesn't do that. He's a good free choices. You're going to either follow me, come into heaven, or you can take you that path. The path is completely open for you. And you can take it. It's free for you to take. Matter of fact, it might even be beneficial for you in the short run for you to take. But in the end, it's not going to get you anywhere but a dead end. Literally dead. Dead and in sin. And in hell. It's over.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. All right. Well, sometime about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock tonight, you're going to realize that the Holy Spirit used a teenager to smack you around in the pew tonight. Everybody's going, no, I can't wait for that sweet little sermon from Levi tonight. We get a break from our evil pastor that just beats on us all the time. Now, we appreciate Levi, and he's growing in the Lord. Is he perfect? No. Does he make mistakes? Yes. But I made mistakes too. Amen. And
that's right.
Amen. And he did a great job tonight, I think. Did a phenomenal job. And I think for the first time speaking publicly, he did a phenomenal job. Did a lot better than I did my first time speaking publicly. Amen. Amen. So appreciate you, Brother Levi. I know your family's proud of you. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take up the offering real quick, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Larry, and we'll have some good singing. So if the ushers would, please come forward, and we'll take up the offering.